Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Hey, this is Veronica Monet. I tried to start there before the song ended. And you're in the Shame Free Zone. My guest today is Coach Betty. Coach Betty's a colleague and a friend on the airwaves. We've never actually met in person, but she's got a show called Green Think Radio. I've been a guest on her show, and she's going to be a guest on my show today. And we're actually going to be talking about something very, very interesting, the healing powers of orgasm. Are you there, Betty?
I sure am. Hello, Veronica.
Hi there. How are you tonight?
I am doing fabulous. I am excited about talking a little bit about this topic that I'm very passionate about.
Well, I want to start off, actually, by reading something from Betty Dodson's memoir. Now, she just posted this 4 days ago, and it's called My Sexual Revolution. And she's actually in, releasing this as an ebook, but I thought it was very telling, so we can just jump right into the idea that she was at the age of 36, and she was just recently divorced, was as an artist and a woman trying to find her own truth around sexuality. And she says this, and I quote, this is Betty Dodson. For those of you who don't know, Betty Dodson is an artist and a sex activist from many years ago. She's been out there doing her art since like 1968. And anyway, you owe it to yourself to look her up on the internet, and I'll post something if you're listening here on Facebook or Twitter. I'll put something up for you. Let me read a little bit here. She says, one of the first problems I encountered was how difficult it was for me to have an orgasm with casual sex. Even after I'd learned to combine direct clitoral stimulation with vaginal penetration, most of the guys I dated couldn't accept a woman doing her own clitoris during intercourse. They all felt it was their responsibility to give me an orgasm. Or maybe it was male privilege that dictated their right to control my sexual responses. They either pushed my hand away or complained that I was using them like a dildo. The fact that men had been masturbating inside women's vaginas for centuries didn't seem to register because that was, quote-unquote, normal sex. He had his orgasm, but she seldom got hers. In a world dominated by vaginal orgasms, claiming the clitoris as my primary sex organ back in 1966 was a big fucking deal. For many women, it remains a BFD to this day. So, how's that for jumping right into the heart of controversy, Coach Betty? How do you like that?
There you go. Wow. Betty Dodson, she had, you know, an interesting perspective on it all. And I don't
know.
Has
that ever happened to you? I mean, not to get personal here, but why not? Have you ever had the battle between the clitoral and the vaginal orgasm?
I have personally not had that battle. Actually, my husband, I remember, when I was married for 20 years, he wanted me to play with myself in front of him, and I was not feeling so comfortable to do that at that point in time.
What time in history would have that been, by the way?
I was married in 1984.
Okay, so we had come along a little bit further, I think, than whatever battles Betty Dodson was fighting in '68. Because I think at that time we had still a lot of influence coming in from Sigmund Freud, who had basically declared that a clitoral orgasm was immature, and that grown-up girls only had vaginal orgasms. That came from Freud.
Thank you, Sigmund Freud.
Yes,
he had his own perspective too. Which you
know, go ahead.
That is so much of, as you and I talked on my show too, our perspectives about sex really impact our satisfaction, our ability to have an orgasm, and our ability to be healed by an orgasm, which is the topic that I'm really passionate about, is how we can really heal with this very natural act of sex.
Well, and that is what we're talking about, because you got to know what the problems are before you can heal them. And I want the listeners who are having any difficulties out there feeling like, you know, one orgasm is better than another. I certainly have. I've taught a lot of workshops and worked with a lot of couples. And there's not a consensus out there necessarily. There's a lot of diversity at this point, thank God, because there's, I think, a lot more freedom sexually than there was when Betty Dodson was encountering her boyfriends who are saying that she's using them like a dildo, which, by the way, happened to me in the 80s. So things hadn't changed that much, at least not for me. I was very much into stimulating my clitoris as a young girl, fresh out of college.
I think what I started out with, too. It feels like a natural place to start because it seems like, at least my experience was, that I could pleasure myself easily. I could feel it. And it didn't take anybody else being there. So I started to have my own experience with orgasm, with the clitoral orgasm. And then as I got more and more mature sexually and began to work with a lot of different men that also had healing, sex, and tantra as part of their philosophy, I started deepening and getting more into the vaginal orgasms. So that was my experience with it.
Well, it's an interesting thing because as a sexologist, I'm aware of the fact that not all women's bodies are created the same way. And actually that what happens in the womb when all of us are, you know, taking shape and basically our genitals are doing whatever it is they're going to do, a small percentage of people, of course, wind up being intersex, which means that they are not male or female. And that's a normal part of nature, and that's sometimes difficult for people to accept because they've got kind of a religious outlook that it's just male and female. But if we talk about the vast majority of people, they do tend to sort out as male and female. And yet, there's still diversity there. So basically, the fetus starts off with kind of a constellation of cells that are going to become genitalia. And they really start to go in the direction of developing as female genitalia. And there's a point in the development of the fetus where it is, if it happens to have that Y chromosome, meaning that it's going to be a male, it gets bathed in testosterone at some point. And that testosterone takes the genitalia away from developing in a female direction and off to become male. But so the whole reason to even bore people with this anatomy lesson is the idea that the erectile tissue that is in the penis is in that both male and female fetuses. And it goes into the penis, obviously, if it develops into a male. But when it develops into a female, that erectile tissue can go behind the vaginal wall. Now, there isn't a consistent distribution of this erectile tissue. So some women really are constructed to experience more intense vaginal orgasms because they have erectile tissue behind the wall, whereas other women will find that this is more of a dead zone. Their clitoris is very sensitive, but they don't feel a lot up inside of the vagina because they don't have that much erectile tissue. Now, not a lot of research has been done on this, which unfortunately is the case when it comes to female anatomy in general, when it comes to female sexual response specifically, but this is an interesting thing that, you know, I try to teach women to just remind them that if your body responds in a certain way, it may be because your body is constructed that way. So, you know, we don't want to get into too many ideas about what, you know, what's more mature or immature, but that rather we're diverse. We're very diverse, as even as women, where there seems to be some uniformity there, it's not really.
Yeah, well, to me, you're exactly right. We are all completely unique individuals with unique bodies that respond in many different ways. And I shared my example with you because what I believe is you go where the pleasure is. You go where the flow of the pleasure is. And you start where you are in working towards the pleasure of orgasm and how that can help heal your body. We know that orgasm increases oxytocin, and it's a natural analgesic. On my show, I do this segment called Whoa Babies, where I take different sound bites from the news that make you pay attention and wake up in a certain way. And one of them that I recently used on the show was that vibrators used to be used to treat female hysteria, which would today be considered depression and many chronic pain conditions that females suffer from. Back in the Victorian era, they treated them with vibrators, orgasm. That's the level of healing that I believe our natural bodies can provide us with, instead of taking medications and, you know, running off to various different therapies and modalities to heal ourselves. It's right here, right in our bodies, the capability to do a lot of that.
Yes, and actually I wrote the preface for a book about orgasmic art. The artist, her name is Nikita Duncan. She's a young San Francisco artist who paints orgasms. And a lot of people ask me, well, how does she paint orgasms? Well, mostly she interviews people over the phone, or she may interview them in person, but the telephone works just fine, so she's not, watching people have orgasms. She's interviewing people. In my case, I think she interviewed me for like an hour and a half. She asked really detailed questions. She asked about your favorite colors. You know, how do you masturbate? How do you have sex with other people? How do you feel about it? How does this connect to your spirituality? And then after she's immersed herself in your orgasmic reality, she goes and paints your orgasm. And it's an amazing process. She's an amazing artist, and so she's put together a collection of her paintings in book form, you know, for one of those beautiful art books you'd want to set on your coffee table. And the introduction is written by Professor Philip Zimbardo, who is a very famous psychology professor from Stanford University, and he's actually got a New York Times bestselling book out this year. And then I've written the preface and also a collection of orgasm exercises, which is going to be going into this book. And one of the things that I introduce, this is very controversial, but, you know, when we talk about the amazing healing and pain reduction capacity of orgasm, you probably have already heard about this, Betty, but there's something called the orgasmic birth. So I went online and checked out these videos, and it is absolutely astonishing. These women are giving birth in the throes of orgasm and not using any painkillers. Bringing their baby into the world with the most peaceful, joyful energy you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, imagine that. Another place that orgasm is really valuable is people that have chronic migraine headaches.
Yeah.
And so what I always think about is, instead of numbing them with pharmaceuticals, they go pleasure themselves with an orgasm. Imagine how differently they feel, the different energy that they put out into the world then, instead of, you know, drugged up. I actually really want to make it clear that I'm not against pharmaceutical medication here. There's a time and a place for it. But it's just the contrast, just the image of what that natural healing could do for someone's psyche and as well as the world if they're able to pleasure themselves and heal themselves at the same time, just as you're saying the birth.
It's, you know, I think our concept of orgasms is very limited because, you know, some of the research that I've done on the topic is it really some of the energy that is accessed during what we call an orgasm is actually can be accessed without a sexual act. So early on on the road to becoming a sexologist, I took a class from a tantrika by the name of Jawala, and this was called Fire Breath Orgasm. And one of the things that was utterly amazing to me was that we were all fully clothed. None of us were touching each other. It was just a room full of women laying on the floor, and we were tilting our pelvises, contracting our pubococcygeal muscles, and breathing, conscious breathing technique. So it's a little bit complicated at first just to try to get, you know, exactly the timing down. Mm-hmm. But it was a very simple process, and I was very, very skeptical about this, I thought. And I heard some women making some noises like they were having orgasms, and I thought, well, this is obviously mass hysteria. These women have convinced themselves that they can achieve an orgasm without having sex. This is ludicrous. And I was laying there doing the exercises as instructed, but seriously thinking about, where's my purse? I need to get the heck out of here. And about the time I spotted my leather jacket and my handbag and was thinking about making my escape, all of a sudden this warm feeling started at the base of my spine, shot up out the top of my head, and it was utterly amazing. But it never even stopped to say hello to my genitals. My genitals were completely not participating in this orgasm. Mm. And it had a universal godlike feeling to it. It was very frightening to me because it took me out of my reality and what I thought constituted sex. And actually, this was a form of tantra. Fire breath orgasm is actually a form of tantric sex. And I stayed away from it for like 10 years because I was like, oh, no, I don't know what that's about. You know, God showed up, the universe showed up, thanks, no thanks.
Yeah, two out of the box there, huh?
It was, but, you know, gradually as I have matured, I've gone back to it, and I have found it to be incredibly healing and liberating and just wonderful to know that orgasms can result from, it doesn't, you don't even really have to be having a sexual fantasy. It can be passion, mm-hmm. spiritual passion can lead you to an orgasmic experience. And actually, this, you know, again, pretty controversial, but some would say that what happens in rapturous situations like, you know, speaking in tongues, being filled with the Holy Spirit, those type of religious experiences and some meditations, some yoga meditations, still lead to that orgasmic release. And then mm-hmm. it really puts our sexual bliss and our spiritual bliss together. And of course, as you know, that's what I'm all about, is trying to get people to realize that these are not disparate concepts, that our spirituality and our sexuality really are one thing.
And if they're
not one thing, they should at least be really close to cousins.
Well, as you said on my show, I'll never forget it, you said we are all walking around on this planet because of sex. And so our attitudes towards it are so antiquated in many ways. And that's why I'm loving that you are doing this show, Veronica, and you are just jumping into things, getting down and dirty with the discussion, because I truly believe that women focusing on sexual satisfaction as part of their overall happiness and satisfaction in their lives, but the sexual satisfaction piece in particular, can literally heal the planet. I really believe that, because we have gotten so far away from deep inner peace and satisfaction as a female species.
No, I couldn't agree more. And I think I've talked about the bonobos on your show as well, an ape that lives in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, which is an endangered species right now. But the only primate, and for those who subscribe to, you know, evolutionary theory, then humans would be primates as well, and they do, in fact, share about 99% of our DNA. But it's the only primate on the planet that isn't violent. And what's astounding to me is all of the think tanks around peace that take place around this world, well-meaning, educated, intelligent people struggling to find solutions to the world violence problems. And yet, nobody ever seems to say, hey, look, this, you know, this ape is living peacefully. Instead, what you'll often hear is, well, you know, the best we can hope to do is to try to limit or control violence, because obviously our nearest living relatives are very violent too. And always they point to the chimpanzee, which is in fact an incredibly violent animal. And they've, you know, they're as violent as we are.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you just keep pointing to example after example of these places that just continue to be overlooked because of strange philosophies through religions and politics, and God knows what got in the way and mucked this nature up that is just so pure and true when we get down to the basics of who we are as men and women and sexual beings on the planet. And so you keep pointing out, you know, the research, and then you talk to people who have had the experiences. I have had my own personal experience. I've had rheumatoid arthritis for 20-plus years, a chronic pain condition. They consider it progressive. You know, you just get worse and worse and worse as time goes on. And sexual healing has been tremendous for me when, in terms of my level of pain. And what could be more natural than that?
Well, I would really like to hear more about that. So for instance, did you start having more sex or a different kind of sex? I mean, I'm sure the listeners would like to know this too. I mean, so maybe some people out there that have rheumatoid arthritis and are like, wouldn't even know where to begin to approach the pain management through sex. How does one do that?
Well, one does that where you are. And what I mean by that is that one of the things that I know women with rheumatoid arthritis and people with rheumatoid arthritis thinks, oh my God, it's going to be so painful to have sex. And that is a perspective and a thought that also can be changed. As we know, all of our thoughts can be changed. So approaching sexual interactions as healing, having the thought that, just realizing that if my body can get this release, that I will actually feel better, is the thought pattern that you want to have. Then it's a matter of surrendering during, whether you're masturbating, whether you're having sex with somebody, really surrendering your body to the orgasm. And with rheumatoid arthritis particularly, what you have is a lot of very tense, tight muscles around your joints. Your joints have this inflamed fluid in that, and your muscles want to tense around that to protect the joint. It's like a natural reaction of your body. So you can imagine when you have an orgasm how that release, that just automatically and naturally relaxes your muscles. So the reason why I started out with where you find the most pleasure in sex is where you want to start, and then keep building from there. For me, my own personal story, and it's a pretty dramatic story. I'm writing a memoir about it right now because I was on pharmaceutical medication, some pretty heavy hitter drugs that they often give you for rheumatoid arthritis, a chemotherapy drug that I was taking once a week. I did that for 12 years. I was on anti-inflammatories daily for 15 years. And I made a conscious decision that I wanted to get off of all of that medication. My daughter was finally able to be independent and be on her own, so it was time for me to take more time in my own healing process. So it was when I came off of all of that medication, which I was in, I can tell you, a tremendous amount of pain, tremendous, because my body was like, what hit you? And I did it through a doctor's care, you know, tapering off very slowly. But still, when your body is used to that outside therapy, it was a bit of a shock. So I did Epsom salt baths. I was doing all sorts of natural ways to relax my body and relieve some of the pain. And sexual healing, I decided to literally test it out. So I was in a tremendous amount of pain. I'm just a month off of all of the drugs. So I'm like taking Epsom salt baths twice a day. I start my day around 3 p.m. because there's so much pain that I have to work through. So I invited this man who is a wonderful lover that I have had in the past, and I said, you know, this is what I'm about. This is what I'm wanting to try out. I'm wanting to see, you know, can multiple orgasms really make a difference for me? And we spent the entire night making love, and I am telling you, I got up the next day, and I felt like a new person. Now, did it last? No. But I, first thing in the morning, was able to get out of bed and walk normally for the first time in, you know, several months.
Wow. So this is very interesting. Okay, now, don't forget, this is an adult station, so I'm just going to have to, I can't avoid making a cute little joke here. After hours and hours of sex, you were actually able to walk better? I mean,
yes, how about that? I mean, it was like amazing.
What kind of sex were you having? I am curious.
Okay, you know, and mind you, I have had a lot of different sexual healing experiences, but this particular sexual encounter, it was all intercourse.
Wow.
Intercourse and a lot of hugging and affection and... But yeah, there was no oral sex. It was all intercourse, vaginal orgasms, like rolling vaginal orgasms. He was a man who didn't ejaculate. He just kept rolling himself over and getting to the heights and then, you know, bringing himself back down. And so we just kept going all night long.
Wow. Well, kudos to him, by the way, too.
Yes. I will be forever in debt to him. For that experience, because it opened me up then to actually pursue tantric sexual healing. And then I ended up working with a man on a regular basis for a year and a half.
Oh, tell us about that. Now, was this specifically for the rheumatoid arthritis, or was this for something else?
No, it was specifically for my pain. I entered into the relationship with this experience of how sex had healed me. And as I said, you know, I did not want to go back to medication, and I was in a huge exploration period in my life. So I explored what sexual healing could do, because on a very core level, I just intuitively knew that sex was healing. And I did not know before I met this man that there were people out there that actually were considered sexual healers. That was my first exposure to it. I grew up in the Midwest. You know, we didn't have sexual healers back then. And you know, it's something that I think has become more and more common as the years go by. You know, as
right.
Our attitudes are changing. But yeah, I started working with him, and I can tell you, you know, I learned so much more than just learning how to relieve my pain.
Okay. For instance.
I mean, he literally taught me about the power of surrender and the power of my satisfaction, my deep sexual satisfaction turned him on more than my past feelings of, oh, okay, I got to make sure that he gets his, you know, in my marriage and in my old sexual encounters. That's what, you know, okay, he does me, I do him. There was much more of a consciousness on my part, and I believe it's very common with many women that we are concerned about, is our man being pleasured? Is he having fun during intercourse, instead of completely surrendering to your own sexual satisfaction and receiving your partner in all of their magnificence? And that is much more of a turn on. He taught me about that being much more of a turn on to men than, you know, all the worrying. Well, we know worry is never going to be healing to anybody during sex. You want to be completely relaxed and getting as much pleasure and satisfaction out of that as possible. And I just learned that on a body level when I was working with this man.
And now you were working with this man. He was a tantric teacher, or?
Yeah, he was a body worker, a tantric teacher. He leads workshops all over the world. His name is
like a psychological body worker. No,
he's a tantric sexual master, and he does workshops for men, women, couples about really learning how to breathe together and get to that spirituality with our sex, and helps to deconstruct a lot of our crazy ideas about men and women and you know,
right,
how we relate sexually.
Now, for our listeners, they might, you know, be like, some people are like, well, did you have to have sex with this guy, or did he just give you homework that you went home and had sex with your husband, or how does this work?
Well, I did, when I initially saw him, I did table sessions with him. He had a table in his room that, and he also had a bed there, but at first we started out on the table, and I can tell you, the first time I laid on his table, he wasn't anywhere close to my genitals, and I was writhing in orgasm on the table. And so it went from there. You know, he doesn't even, on his website, he doesn't even touch a woman and she's having an orgasm. So it's similar to the experience that you had at your workshop where, you know, you don't need anything. It's within our bodies to have orgasm.
Right.
So
right.
If we can create the, our mind, body, spirit connection, I've had an orgasm with all of these experiences. I'm up meditating, and I can have an orgasm while I'm meditating if I just bring my energy down to my genitals and just allow myself to surrender to the feeling. It's there.
pretty cool, huh? Oh, it's awesome. And see, here, we got to read some of our comments here coming in off of Facebook. For those of you who are listening, go to Facebook. Veronica Monet that's as simple as the way you find me is Veronica Monet. Or you can Twitter. I'm checking Twitter as well. So we've got a couple of comments. We've got Lance Holland says, I prefer vaginal, hee-hee. Then we've got Tristan G. Dean says, excuse me, Veronica, there are more than two options possible, you know.
Uh-huh.
To which I said, well, the show is only 1 hour long.
I love it that she said that, because it's so true. It's like kissing can be fucking.
The thing, orgasms, is, you know, Mary Roach has got this great video. It's online for those of you who are listening, and I'll post it here in a minute. But she talks about 10 things you didn't know about orgasm. And, you know, one of the things that she talks about is this woman who orgasmed every time she brushed her teeth. and actually she was a very religious woman, so she had a lot of shame around the fact that she was having orgasms every time she brushed her teeth. And so she stopped brushing her teeth, which is kind of sad. On a lot of levels, it's sad.
But, yeah, that's a really sad story.
Yeah, but literally, orgasms, you can, there's a woman who could think her way into an orgasm. You know, and you can. It's possible to think it. I know people who are able to have orgasms just by stimulating their earlobes or their neck. You know,
really,
women
I
especially,
think...
but both men and women can have nipple orgasms.
Yeah,
and then, of course,
our bodies are orgasmic. Every inch of our bodies can be orgasmic.
There's G-spot and prostate massage and anal and those are some of the more usual suspects that we think about. But I think one of the things that, you know, if we start realizing that, you know, even birth and breastfeeding can lead to orgasms. Now, this is a very difficult subject for a lot of people because I went online and found some stuff about breastfeeding is not pedophilia, which really shocked me. I thought, no, that's why we're called mammals, because we feed our young through our breasts. I mean, this is like the most basic part of our biology. But apparently there are some women who will start to breastfeed their baby for the first time in their life, experience an orgasm while doing it, and promptly stop breastfeeding their baby, which is so sad because, you know, one of the things I want women especially who to know, but, you know, men too, because you can help support your female partners to not, you know, go the way of shame here. But the fact is that the contractions that take place in the womb during breastfeeding are really important to helping the cervix go back down to its original size and help the blood to be expelled out. So if we're just talking about simple biological reasons to allow yourself to experience pleasure during breastfeeding, that would be those. And then, of course, as a sexologist, I would like people to, like, start realizing that life is meant to be pleasurable and it's okay. And if we understood boundaries better, then I don't think we would have to be so afraid to realize that sexual pleasure is available in a lot of different ways. But because we don't understand boundaries, then we don't understand where, you know, child abuse would begin and end. And certainly there's no way you could construe having a orgasmic birth as child abuse, because this is just a beautiful way to bring your baby into the world. The mother's, you know, going to be running endorphins. She's going to be stress-free. The environment is going to be peaceful and loving and accepting. And what a wonderful way to take your first breath on planet Earth.
Yeah, I just love that. I love that. And I think that, you know, that's why I'm loving that you've got this show, Sex Without Shame. It's like, how can we just let go of all these crazy ideas and get back to our nature? And I realize you and I both were a little out of the box for, you know, your normal person walking down the street, but that's why they need us, because we need to be presenting these ideas to them that this is possible. I understand that people can't go there right tomorrow, but you've got to understand that it's happening. It really can be possible for us to be orgasmic beings, and that's actually, in my mind, the path to inner peace.
Yes, I think so too. And I think that it's true. For those of us that are pushing the paradigm, you know, it might seem wacky and way out there and a little bit hard to swallow, forgive the pun, but you don't have to go, you know, just take like one or two of these things and go, okay, you know, hey, I don't know about that whole having orgasms while I'm breastfeeding, but I would love to have orgasms to get rid of chronic pain. Or, you know, boy, I don't know, I'm pretty attached to my pain pills, but I do find myself feeling kind of uptight and nervous. Maybe more orgasms would help me calm down and be a little more centered and peaceful and serene inside myself.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can pick and choose what you think is going to help you to become, you know, connected to orgasms as far as it being a healthy, healing aspect of your life. Rather than, and I think, you know, especially here in America, we've kind of still got those Puritan roots, which are very much about the work ethic, and pleasure is taboo. And you know, so it's ironic, but, you know, I suppose par for the course that you and I actually have to kind of sell people on orgasms as being utilitarian. Forget about your pleasure. We don't care that you'll feel better. You know, this is what you're going to accomplish by having an orgasm.
That's right. That's right. Here's the outcomes. And
yes.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, specifically for people in pain that might be listening to the show, it, truly the opposite of pain is pleasure. And so what better therapy, what better modality to approach your pain with than something that makes you feel pretty darn good.
Well, and, you know, the thing, too, about, you were talking about rheumatoid arthritis. I know a man who has obtained more mobility, and he's quadriplegic, so he doesn't have use of his arms and legs, but he swears that sex is responsible for helping to restore some of his ability to use his arms.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought that was a huge testament to the power of sex. And this was important to him because he's a musician and he loves, you know, he needs to be able to access his computer and his music equipment. So being able to, you know, get more use of his arms and hands was a huge thing. And, you know, whether scientists or doctors would come along and say, yes, he's accurate, that's what caused it, his belief is that sex is what helped to take him there and to heal him.
Yeah, well, I'm with him. It's like I'm dancing again. I'm taking dance classes. I didn't dance for 16 years, and that's while I was taking medication. Now, part of that was my head, too. I will absolutely admit that. But the sexual healing, just understanding it and feeling it and seeing what was happening while I was off the medication and using sex as my main healing modality, it just opened up worlds for me about what I could then do.
For instance?
Go back to dancing. Go back to taking dance classes. And
okay.
I mean, my knees are both totally replaced. So, you know, I had this thinking that I couldn't get back into the studio because I couldn't do all the things that you can't go into Grand Plié anymore, you know, all of those limited thoughts.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that you actually feel like accessing your orgasms without the shame has actually opened you up to be a more alive and passionate person.
And realized what was possible, that my thoughts were limiting me, you know. So, yeah, it was, it's just such a natural way to approach healing. And so I just encourage all of your listeners that are at all intrigued, piqued by this idea, to explore, experiment. Just remember, life is one big adventure of exploration. And, you know, what could be more fun to explore than sensations in your body, bringing your body pleasure? Because I also believe we can talk about healing, we can think about healing, but our body has to feel the healing. And that's the other thing I love about sexual healing, is that it's such a body healing place.
Yes, yes.
You know, when you're having an orgasm, you're not in your head.
I have to say, it's a wonderful place to also go to sleep. You know, I think about all the people who are taking pain medication, taking sleeping pills, taking antidepressants, and I think what a wonderful thing an orgasm can do to change your perspective, fill your body with endorphins, and the chemicals that get released in the body and the brain during an orgasm are like heroin. So it's also a wonderful way not to do drugs. You know, instead of drinking and doing alcohol or taking over the counter pills, there's nature has already given us this wonderful way to enjoy our bodies, to be in our bodies in a way that's healing and healthy. And you know, so when I can't sleep, I've never relied upon sleeping pills. I just get my vibrator.
Yeah, you go, girl. I know. I know. I mean, and the thing that's cool about that it's all in our body is we carry it around with us everywhere we go. We have our bodies with us.
Yes, exactly.
We don't need to remember the medication.
It's right here. And then, you know, you don't have to worry about the side effects. I mean, isn't it ironic that one of the side effects of antidepressants is often reduced sexual function?
Yeah, and what's the side effect of good sex?
Yeah, there really isn't. There is one I can think of, which is an improved sense of smell. Don't quite know how that happens. Do you want to call that a side effect? Oh, and by the way, it's good for your heart, it's good for your respiratory system, and it's good for your skin.
And your immune system.
Yeah, 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 exactly. So, you know, the side effects are the side effects of sex abound, and they're all good for you. Now,
yeah.
You know, and here's the thing. Some people are going to say, oh, no, sex can break your heart and sex can lead to sexually transmitted diseases. And, you know, really that's about a type of sex. And I think one of the things that I hope the listeners will walk away with today is that, you know, we are very much focused on masturbation and tantra because these are activities that are, you know, provide sexual release and orgasmic bliss, and I think, you know, if you utilize them properly, can also be an adjunct to your spiritual path. But they don't bring in the risk of sexually transmitted diseases. And if more people were able to, you know, freed up to get past the shame around masturbation and freed up around the fear of something like Tantra, to where they realize that, okay, now here's a way to be sexual where we don't have to risk our lives. And that's not to say that, you know, I would suggest that we replace vaginal sex or anal sex with these things, but that we need to have these alternatives so that we don't always have to think that sex is about taking a risk that's life-threatening. And that's where we are right now, is that, you know, a lot of people are being scared into thinking the sex is this horrible thing that's going to kill you. And, well, some forms of it could, but there's so many other ways to do sex that are perfectly safe and very life-affirming.
Yeah, oh, my gosh, it just hurts me to hear that people are so fearful of something that's so pure and wonderful and good for us. And I'm hoping that we opened people up to realizing that it's not all, like you say, about vaginal and anal sex, that where so much of the fear is around. It's like, go explore your nipples as an orgasmic part of your body and see what happens. Or, you know, your belly or your thigh. I mean, all of these areas of your body, if you just, you know, lick and you and your partner just get creative, soft touching. I mean, just see how much fun you can have, how much stimulation you can have. Make it a game. I mean, it's about lessening the fear. It's about, you know, not going to the, oh my God, am I going to get a disease? I mean, that's just so, such a heady place. But about the fun, the creativity, what can we co-create together? What can we come up with for a way to just feel pleasure with our own bodies?
And this is, you know, another really important thing too, which is just that expanding your idea of sex so that it, I think, you know, there is kind of like a limiting energy if your sex is just focused on your genitals. It's and a lot of times people have actually, you know, kind of incorporated their shame in that so that it's like breath holding, you know. So they're holding their breath, they're looking at mainstream porn, And the focus is very much in this kind of this dark taboo moment. And I think one of the things, you know, that we're trying to share with people is that orgasm can be this very expansive experience where you're breathing into it and you are inviting all of your vulnerabilities and joys and pleasures. And I've actually used orgasm to process grief.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I had to get past the idea that I have to be thinking about something sexy. It's like I've just used it to clear my emotional tableau, if you will. It'd be like, okay, I'm, you know, I feel all this tension inside. I need to cry, but I don't know how to access my tears. And I've actually used orgasm to help free up my ability to cry so that I could go ahead and grieve the death of a loved one.
Mm.
And, you know,
it is. It's a very vulnerable place, you know, yes. that complete surrender that I talked about earlier, it's very vulnerable, which is why we don't want to why it's hard to do. You know, we want to hang on. We want to be in control. But let me just put this word in your listeners' heads, surrender, women, surrender, surrender, surrender. And, you know, you have to feel safe to surrender. So that's where we need to take responsibility to get ourselves in those safe situations where we can't surrender. And, you know, I guess that's another thing that I would say about healing sex is that we need to make the choices as women. There's probably a little bit of the boundary stuff that you were talking about in here too, but make the choices of who we have sex with so that we feel safe and we can reach to that place where we can surrender and be receptive, because that's the healing stuff right there. That
absolutely. In my workshops, I actually teach people that until you've learned how to say no, your yes doesn't really have any power.
Mm, love that.
So you need to be able to say no. It's a prerequisite.
Yeah, and we as women need to take more responsibility around the choices, I think. I think that, you know, I'm 54, and I know, you know, when I was first getting together with men, it was like we were all waiting for the men to ask us. And it's shifting some with my 20-year-old daughter. I can see that I've been telling her, I said, sweetie, remember, you are the one that chooses. The egg chooses the sperm.
It shifted a lot. I was listening to a popular song for, you know, that's hit the demographic would definitely be teenagers. And it was talking about, girl, when are you going to make your move? You know I want you to, but when are you going to make your move? I don't have all day. When are you going to make your move? And I was thinking, oh, my God. So teenage boys are actually standing around waiting for the girl to make her move. It kind of blew my mind.
That's right. Well, I do some workshops, and I'm in this group around redefining the way we deal with seduction and deal with each other and helping girls and women step into this place where they choose their mates more. And, you know, I've gone to a couple of college classrooms, and I've asked all the guys, I said, do you want a woman to call you? Would you like that? 100% the guys really want the girls to call.
Yeah. Yeah.
They want it. And, you know, it's all good. We're moving in the right direction. Thanks to you. Thanks to me. Thanks to all this work that we're doing by expanding people's minds around sex. And, again, Veronica, I just really want to commend you for this show. And just
thank
put
you,
yourself
Jen.
Out there, girl. I love it.
Well, thank you, honey. And before we go, tell our listeners how they can find you and what they can expect over at Green Think Radio.
Yeah, well, thanks. And it's greenthinkradio.com, and I do a weekly radio show. It's about healing self. It's about self-love. And through that, I believe we'll heal our relationships and heal our planet. So I talk to so many fascinating people, relationship experts. I talked to John Gray recently.
You did?
Yes, I did. I was very excited to talk to him about what he, his, you know, philosophy, and he is talking about this too. Women need to step up. But I talked to environmental experts, innovative people, as well as lots of healers, so you get a real broad brush about, and lots of expansive ideas.
And you're a coach. Now, what do you coach people with?
I am a life and a relationship coach. So my life coaching practice is for people who are really ready to step in and step up, and let's start finding our magnificence and our deep uniqueness and bringing it to the planet. And then I also work with couples and organizations around how to relate together.
Right on. Right on. Well, you know what? This has been a delightful conversation, and I'm especially just, what a testament to, you know, maybe we should think about doing a book where we just get all of people's healing stories about, you know, getting past quadriplegia or rheumatoid arthritis or having a pain-free birth. I mean, that would be an awesome book about orgasms right there.
Yeah, I love that idea. Let's keep getting it out there. The real life stories. This is real stuff.
Yeah, it really
is. We're doing the research right here and now.
That's right. We're sharing our stories. So feel free also, if you have stories that you want to share, email me, Veronica at sexwithoutshame.com. And I would, you know, I would probably end up publishing those in my newsletter if you'd like to have your stories published. Betty, thank you so much for joining us here in the Shame Free Zone.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. I love talking to you, Veronica.
I love talking to you too, sweetheart, and I'm very grateful that you are greening the planet.
Thank you. All right, dear. You have a great day.
You too, sweetheart. Night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with you. Yeah.